congratulations again to the Milwaukee Bucks, winning their first title in 50 years. Milwaukee getting the job done. Giannis Antetokounmpo was fantastic. Drew Holiday, to me, made a huge difference. Just his defense throughout several of these games in the finals on Chris Paul was outstanding. So really cool. Makes you wonder, though, do the Nuggets have the tools to do something like that? Can they do it? The Nuggets immediately tweeted afterward with a picture of Joker, Murray, Michael Porter Jr. on a cover saying, you know, hey, we're ready for next year. And so you look at that, you look at those players, and my brain immediately goes to that group, those three. Is that the core? Is that core going to achieve a title? Porter will absolutely be a Nugget for the foreseeable future, for fairly long term. He'll be around the $20 million mark, unless he just absolutely tanks next year. But they're going to get a deal done, and Porter will be one of the faces of this organization. A very interesting career thus far. Is he going to be the guy that can do it? Can Jamal Murray come back healthy? You know, when he comes back, can he be the Jamal Murray that we saw last year? Can he get better? Because I think that he's going to need to get even better. He's going to have to be the guy that went off for 50 points against Utah in these playoffs next season. They're going to be a middle-of-the-road Western Conference playoff team. Probably, if I had to guess, I'm saying anywhere from fourth to third where they finish. I mean, because without Murray, I don't think their record is going to be like blowing anybody out of the water. I think they're going to maintain a good spot in the Western Conference, middle of the playoff pack. And when Murray comes back, they kind of set themselves up. Maybe they lock up fourth or third. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if we see Golden State back up top. The question mark will be for Phoenix. And does Chris Paul think that he can win a championship with the Suns? They were a few games away. They were two games away from doing it. Does he pick up his option and run that thing back again? It's amazing how these things change as we progress through the NBA playoffs. You go from, the Suns are going to be there long term. They're going to be in this window for a while. Get Chris Paul. He's coming back. They'll be good. But you lose four games in a row to Milwaukee. Suddenly, things change. The narrative changes a little bit to, can Phoenix win? Did they just get past a lot of teams that didn't have their studs? And then when they ran into a full team, was that the deal? It's hard not to think that. You know, we've asked the question, do the Suns get past the Lakers with Anthony Davis in the lineup every game? Because when you watched that series, it felt like so the Lakers won what, game one? 99-90. It kind of felt like the Lakers were toying with them. The Suns won the first game, and then the Lakers went on to win the next two, and they won the second game 109-95. That was when LeBron was like backing a player down, and I don't remember who it was, but the bench was laughing at how LeBron was just toying with him. Oh, and then the Suns went on to win the next three and win the series. And then, of course, they pretty much dominated the Nuggets. Denver just couldn't keep it close. In fact, what was it? The closest game was actually the one the Joker got tossed out. You know, you saw some fight there, which was admirable, but wasn't going to be enough. What does this do for Chris Paul? What does that do for his thought process? We'll talk about it more. Tilted Barrel. Pick up Tilted Barrel delivery, DoorDash or Grubhub. If you want to do that, I recommend stopping by. It is a fantastic place. They got happy hour from 2 to 6. Features half-price appetizers, $5 well, wine, or draft drinks. Come and see for yourself why their happy hour is one of their customers' favorite time of day. Best beers in the area. They support local breweries. And, of course, you got 40 different whiskeys to try. And the kitchen's cooking up wonderful food. What great wings. That is Tilted Barrel. Tell them we sent you from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Nico Medved's buyout. I wanted to get more into that. The success, everything he's done, it's good. It's just so good. He was 12-20 his first season, 12-20. Nobody's judging that, right? That's your first year. Trying to pick up the pieces. Where Eustace left off, they were 11-21 with Eustace in that last year. Medved comes in and improves it by one game. Then in his first, and then his second season, he wins 20. They go 20-12. I always think 20 is like the mark of, okay, that's a goal. That should be the minimum goal. For, you know, obviously you got big goals. You want to win your conference. You want to win your tournaments. You want to go to the big dance. You want to get into the Elite Eight, whatever. I just say that first goal, if I were a head coach, I'd be like, you gotta win 20. Anybody who's anybody wins at least 20 games. Maybe that's supposed to be a little more. So they win 20. Then the next year, they win, they went 20-8. But less games, of course. Their winning percentage was better. So he improved his winning percentage every single year. They made the semifinals of the NIT last spring. And I really think that this group's, you know, they're picking up national attention too. They've appeared in several early top 25 projections. They're returning all five starters and the top seven point scorers from last year. And then Chandler Jacobs, they picked him up. So it's looking really strong for Colorado State, for basketball. Football, interesting. The preseason rankings came out. How much you put stock into those is up to you, I suppose. Boise State, Nevada, picked to win both sides, picked to win the 2021 Mountain West Football Division titles. According to the Mountain West Conference, Boise State has been chosen to finish atop the Mountain Division, while Nevada has been predicted to win the West Division for the first time in program history, as announced today by the Mountain West Conference at its annual media days. We're going to talk to Kelly Lyle on the program tomorrow, who's there. I believe I'm joining a Zoom call for Steve Addazio at 2:45 today. So we'll be curious. He did not make it. He did not go to the media days because of a personal situation. So hopefully everything is okay there. Boise State's been predicted to win the Mountain West Division the last eight seasons. Well, nothing's changing. They returned 19 starters, including 9 on offense and 8 on defense from a 2020 squad that finished with an undefeated 5-0 conference record and made a fourth consecutive appearance in the Mountain West Football Championship game. Where are the Rams? They are in the Mountain Division with Boise State, Wyoming, Air Force, Utah State, and New Mexico. They are picked to finish fourth in the Mountain Division behind Boise State at 1, who received 23 votes. The only other vote getter was Wyoming in the Mountain Division. Wyoming to finish second, and or at least first place votes. Wyoming did receive 2 first place votes. Boise State received 23, excuse me. Air Force picked to finish third. Colorado State right behind them. Utah State and then New Mexico behind. In the West Division, Nevada, San Jose State, San Diego State, Fresno State, Hawaii, UNLV. For CSU, it's going to come down to me to what that offense can do, what that quarterback can do, and really what is Addazio's identity in first real year. They only played, what, 4 games last year? We've already discussed at length what we think the strengths to be for this team. Tight end play will be amazing. Trey McBride is NFL-bound at some point. The defensive line, as we've documented several times, with guys like Scott Patchen and Allison Hubbard and Manny Jones, like a sensational D-line. So we know those areas are going to be good. But, you know, on the offensive side, what's that going to look like with Todd Senteo? You know, they had the musical chairs quarterback situation last year, Patrick O'Brien, Todd Senteo. We knew Addazio liked more of a Senteo-type quarterback, a guy that could move, that was pretty damn mobile. We'll see if he can take that next leap. I don't know. I don't know enough about him. Didn't see enough from him last year. He didn't look fantastic. Through the course of the season, he did have some moments, though. That's where, okay, yeah, I could see them finishing in the middle of the pack. But if this defense is good and it really starts at that defensive line and they can make some big plays, then yeah, maybe they can pull. I've got them. I don't have the schedule pulled out in front of me, but I, I'm pegging 5 or 6 wins. You know, get 6, you get the bowl game, which would be pretty big for Adazio, taking over a team that, you know, under Coach Bobo, couldn't win rivalry games. CSU beat Wyoming last year and finished the last, what, 2 seasons? Like, with 2 or 3 wins or whatever that was, 3 or 4 wins? Pretty rough. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number. Here's a little side story. Jackson State coach, you may have heard of him, Deion Sanders, walks out of the SWAC Media Day event after being called Deion. Jackson State football coach Deion Sanders wants to be treated like Alabama coach and 6-time national champion Nick Saban, according to Clarion Ledger. Pro Football Hall of Fame cornerback and second-year coach demanded that reporters shouldn't call him by his first name before walking out of the Media Day event at the Sheraton Birmingham on Tuesday. He says, "You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion," Sanders told Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger. "If you call Nick Saban Nick, you'll get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me," Sanders later added. "Treat me like Nick." Sanders, who went 4-3 in his first year as a college coach, walked out after being referred to by his first name a second time. Suss is the Ledger's Ole Miss writer who has crossed over several beats, most recently covering Mississippi State in its College World Series championship run. This is Suss's second time covering Sanders at that particular media day. He said, "When I interview people, I call them by their first name," Suss said. "Whether it's someone I've been working with for years or someone I'm talking to for the first time. This is true of the coaches and players on the Ole Miss beat, the coaches and players of the Mississippi State and Southern Miss when I help out covering their teams, and as recently as January, even Sanders, too." Suss has referred to Saban and the football coach on his Ole Miss beat, Lane Kiffin, by their first name, along with the Bulldogs National Championship baseball coach, Chris Lemoyne. I'll tell you, I know it's walking out's weird. I personally have a hard time referring to, like, I can say Steve Adazio here, but when I interview coaches, I call them coach. I always do. Coach Steve Adazio, Coach Nico Medved. I have a hard time saying Nico, even though I know these guys pretty well. I'm really good friends with UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley. I have a hard time calling him Steve. It's weird for me, man. It's like a teacher. What do you think? Walking out is out of control. Should reporters address? Do you have an issue with reporters addressing coaches as their first name?
Not really, but if a coach would prefer to be called coach, then I guess respect it. Don't push that button.
Yeah, I feel like it's a weird thing. I kind of was thinking about it. Like, Nick Saban was asked about it, and he's like, "Nah, people call me anything. I don't really care." I think I've heard reporters call him Nick before.
Yeah.
I just don't do it. It just feels informal to me. And when I do a radio interview, yeah, I don't want it always to sound formal. I want to joke around a little bit, but I still call a coach, coach. You know, I don't raise my hand and say, "Coach Medved." You know, I say just coach. And that's always been something that I've done. Is it disrespectful? Not sure.
I don't know.
And I like Deion Sanders. I mean, Mr. Sanders. Coach Sanders? Coach Sanders. I certainly wouldn't do it. I certainly would call him coach. If you become high school coaches, man, I don't call high school coaches by their first name. I've interviewed several high school coaches over the years. I don't call them Scott or whatever. I call them by, if Tanner Schwent, who's a quarterback's coach ever at Severance, becomes a head coach, I will no longer call him Tanner. I will call him coach. Maybe.
I don't know about that one.
That would be tough.
That one's different.
That would be tough. But should he have walked out?
No,
that's man. That's a little much. You're demanding respect? I guess for me, that's one of those things that's like, maybe make it a quick, "Hey, it's Coach Sanders, by the way." You know, you've done that before where you call somebody Mr. and it's Doctor. Do you respect the doctor tag? How about that one? Do you respect that tag?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't talk to many doctors, to be honest.
What about these other doctors? Not doctors, but like, you know, doctors. Like
professors?
Professors.
No.
Mm-mm. A guy, our doc here, we have a doc, but I call him the doctor. And it's a great name for him. He's, you know, Doc Mosier, owner of Rule 105, excellent brewery. He's also the UNC, he teaches chemistry as well as the beer classes at UNC.
I call him Doc.
I just call him the doctor. I don't know why.
I don't do that.
I have no idea why. There's just certain people that get nicknames, Colbs. You know that. You have 47 of them.
Just call me Colbs.
You get a lot. You get the luxury of having 47 nicknames from me.
And I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, you get tons of nicknames. Yeah, I have a friend that's a PA, a physician's assistant, but I don't call her doctor. I grew up with her, so I don't call her doctor.
Yeah.
So it's different.
But in an interview type setting, you would.
Yeah, if it was an interview, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do that. One of my best friends is a doctor, actually. Just forgot about it. Sorry, Zach. He just became a doctor.
Dr. Zach.
Dr. Zach.
That's Dr. Zach to you.
Yeah. I should start calling him that to be respectful for him. It's hard, though, when you've seen him, you know, hammered and passed out on a floor before or playing video games, doing goofy stuff growing up. It's hard to be like, his last name's Zitterkoff, so it's like a long name. So it's like, hey, Dr. Zitterkoff. I can't do that, man.
Dr. Z.
Well, his dad was a superintendent who had his doctorate, so we did actually call him that. Dr. Z.
Perfect.
But he wanted people to call him doctor. You couldn't say mister. He'd correct you. He would correct you.
Wow.
And you're like, I feel weird. So I don't know. It was weird that he stormed out. It's petty. Get over yourself, Dion. Dude wasn't being disrespectful. He was asking a freaking question. Who cares? When did coaches start earning some special treatment? Don't we have other things to worry about besides someone using our first name before they ask us a question? That's Mr. Hole to you. All right? I prefer that, by the way. You know, if someone's going to talk... I know I don't, actually. It makes me feel like I'm 97 years old. I get like, these college athletes now that say, hey, Mr. Hole. I'm like, no. No, man. I'm not that much old. Yeah, I am. I'm like 15 years older than you.
Oof.
That's tough.
It's almost twice their age.
You know, it gets harder as you get older is watching professional sports.
Yep.
But seeing the rookies.
Yep.
How young they are. You know, in the 90s and early 2000s, you're like, okay, I'm like their age. I'm Von Miller's age. That's cool. And then you just start seeing guys that are drafted that were born 20 years ago. And you think, that's 2000. Or 18 years ago, you know, 2002, 2003. You're starting to see that now. That's crazy to me. Then that's when you start feeling old.
That's what I hate about those pro sports players.
Yeah, they just keep...
I keep getting older. They stay the same age.
That's classic right there.
Yeah, it is.
That's classic. That was well done by you, Colbeck. I was wondering if you were going to get there.
Yeah.
But you remembered it, and you got there.
I almost stumbled.
You nailed it.
I stumbled a little bit.
I give it to you, man. That is an A+. Wow. Great work. Well, that makes you feel old. Yeah. 24 minutes after the hour. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, our brewery this week, Horse and Dragon Brewing in Fort Collins. Our game beer of the week is the Mountain... Oh, wait. No. Easy. That was last week's Colfax. I don't know why I have an old copy. This one's from Left Hand Brewing in Longmont. Getting tiki with it. How can you forget that? Pina Colada Wheat Beer. You pick up selections from Left Hand or any of your favorite adult beverages. Also use the drive-thru. That's On the Rocks Liquor. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary. Tony, John, we love you guys. We love everything that you guys are about. Owner, husband and wife duo owning that thing, doing everything the right way. And also outside of the store, too, in the community. Great people. 25 after the hour. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Halls Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We want to shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Give Scott Robiner, a member of their great staff, a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. Services as unique as life. 970-330-6824. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Services. Looking at camp starting next week, obviously the eyes will be on the quarterback side of things. I'm just going to say it. I'm on the Drew Lock train officially. If you guys couldn't sense it, I'm not going to beat around the bush anymore. I'm on it. I am on the Drew Lock train. I'm there. I said last year that he's not the franchise quarterback. Somebody said, "Oh, you're just being contrarian. You're just changing your." No, I sat down. I went and skipped rocks at a nearby river. I thought about things. I played some sad music, and I thought, it's only been a year, and it was COVID year. So Brady, don't be so. I said to myself, I said, "Self, don't be so hard on Drew Lock. He's had 477 offensive coordinators since he's been in high school." And that's barely an exaggeration. He didn't have any of the real camp stuff last year. And I don't know that Pat... I do blame Pat Shurmur. Not just Pat Shurmur, the draft process last year. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy those guys are here now. But I just thought, man, we're throwing way too many weapons at Drew Lock. And when you have a lot of weapons, you have to create a lot of different plays to get those weapons involved. And I thought maybe Drew Lock was just given too much. So I'm saying it officially. I am on the Drew Lock train. Let's go, Drew. Become the guy we need. Do I really deep down believe he's going to turn out to be the franchise quarterback? I'm not betting on it. I'll just say that. I'm not betting on it. But that's the goal, right? You got to find your franchise quarterback. I don't believe the Rodgers thing is happening. For several reasons. I think he shows up to camp Monday, and away he goes with Green Bay, disgruntled the whole way through, but he finishes the season. Or he sits out. I don't know if he sits out, because I think he's a competitor. I think he wants to keep playing. But overall, no. I'm going with Drew Lock on this. I'm sticking with it. And I think it's... I think it's going to be great. You know what? Why don't we jump out? Now would be a great opportunity to jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KSKA.
Thirty-six minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, and let's get a little. We do have some of that news you heard from the National Storm Service there, per Larimer County Sheriff's Office. Doing to get this out effective immediately. The Poudre River is being closed for all use by order of the sheriff of Larimer County. This restriction is in place from the fish hatchery to the mouth of the canyon. This restriction applies to all watercraft, and restrictions are being imposed in response to disaster relief and debris removal relating to the flooding and mudslides into the Poudre River near the Black Hollow Road Bridge that occurred on July 20th yesterday. They are actively working to recover one victim from the river and searching for at least two others. At this point, under the direction of Larimer County Emergency Management, engineering crews will be assessing the structural integrity of bridges below the slide area as a tremendous amount of debris, trees, mud, rocks, and structures have washed into the river. And they do not know at this point what hazards exist currently and may arise as water continues. These restrictions will likely last through the weekend. So they'll assess and adjust as conditions warrant. Again, effective immediately, the Poudre River is being closed for all use by order of the sheriff. This restriction is in place from the fish hatchery to the mouth of the canyon. We'll have that story up for you available at 1310kfk.com, that press release for you. And I'm sure if we get new information, we've got the Good Afternoon Guy. Brian Gary will be live in studio at 3 o'clock. So if any new information jumps on, plus we'll have the storm reports or what have you, the the duck calls, as I always call them. It kind of sounds like a duck call. Nothing scares you more than that when you're growing up and you hear that. You just automatically look for a tornado. Like, I never really saw a tornado near where I lived in eastern Colorado. There are tornadoes there, but I don't remember ever seeing one, like, really close. But you'd be driving along and you hear that. You're like, oh, zombies or tornado? What is it? What's happening? But in all seriousness, yes, they get the word out. If it's crazy, they do their test. It's funny when they do their tests, too, right? You get all geared up. You're like, what the hell is it? What's going on here, man? I don't see it. There's not a cloud in the sky. Something's coming. And then it's just a test. But hopefully they can recover the folks out there. It's kind of a scary deal. So we'll do our best to keep you up to speed with that. Again, that press release from the Larimer County Sheriff's Department is available at 1310kfka.com. So go ahead and give that a look. First Advantage. Yes, Brian just got back to me too. He's going to be talking about that a little bit later on. So he will have some information this afternoon. Hey, man, it's great having local radio throughout, because you listen to these shows. Hopefully you listen to my show for an entertainment value. But we also, when push comes to shove and crazy stuff happens, we will we'll talk about it. Did you hear that boom just now?
What was that?
What was that boom?
I have no idea.
Well, I went and looked outside to see if it was storm. I'm guessing it was all pooter stuff, but went to look outside to see if storm. But last night, that looked dark, man. It did. Yeah. It was, or yesterday, I should say. I was outside the backyard with my kiddo, and you looked over to the west, and some dark clouds. We're in that time of year, too.
Yeah.
Every afternoon, scorching hot, and then it's coming in. Tanner said, there are no clouds out here. What was that boom? What was that? Something's going. It's probably Tanner on the roof doing something, checking the roof
doing
for you.
Doing my job, yeah.
Doing your job for you. First Advantage text line. Don't know what the boom is. I'll report back. The case of the weird boom noise that just happened around KFKA building. I did see a big truck out here.
Okay.
Doing something. Don't know what, man. Are we moving? Are we in the air right now? Are we being lifted? Is this like Up?
Could be.
Is this like the movie Up?
Could be.
I think it's like that. That was scary. We'll hang in there. Let's see, where's Dix? Brady, I have been on the radio before, so from now on, I would like to be referred to as Dixon, the arch nemesis radio guy. Just like after tonight, you will be Brady Hole Dancing with the Stars judge guy. No, I don't want that to be the tag. Can I be something cool? Like, and that's cool, trust me. But I was thinking like Blazer, karate champion. Something cool. Gotta be in karate to be that though, right?
I was gonna say, are you?
No.
No.
Maybe someday. Kinda hope my kid, thinking of that on that side note, I kinda hope my kid does the sports and activities that I didn't do. Right? I'm gonna be supportive no matter what. But there's a part of me that's like, yeah, it'd be cool if he did football and basketball and ran track. That's what I love. That's what I did. But there's part of me that's like, it'd be cool if he went and did karate and swimming. Stuff like that that I didn't do. Because then I could get into it. Something new.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or hockey.
Yes. Absolutely hockey. I get crap for it all the time from the Hooligans. I don't talk enough hockey. Well, my kid plays hockey. I'll go talk some hockey.
There we go.
Yeah, we'll get into it. But I am pumped with Dancing with the Stars. To be a judge. Let me be clear. And if the question comes to me, Brady, will you dance next year? I'm sorry, I want to support Boys and Girls Club, but I only think my dancing would harm the club and its efforts going forward, and I wish I was joking. That would make people not want to show up. I can just tell you that right now. You can do the sprinkler, but that's it. And I think they teach you. It's just it's,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
definitely.
It.
That was
yeah.
good.
Yeah. It's just anything with just the arms, you know, you don't have to get too crazy there. It's fine. How are we feeling about my declaration of Drew Locke, my love, it's not my love, it's I'm wanting to see, I'm going to give this one more shot. I want to see what we got. I want to know for sure that Drew Locke wasn't, or maybe was, the guy. Now, they've gone through quarterbacks after quarterbacks, and I'm not saying if they stuck with Trevor Siemian, he would have worked out, because he ended up not really working out anywhere else, but I do think that about Brock Osweiler. I do strongly feel that way. I feel like he should. I feel like his second chance with Denver when he came back, I feel like they should have given him a longer time. You and I both were on that train.
Oh, yeah.
They moved on from Brock quickly. They wanted to try out. Was that the Paxton Lynch? Why am I messed up on the timeline? Didn't they bench Brock for Paxton Lynch? Because it was it Trevor Siemian too? Boy, I'm all hazy. We'll have to get through that. Brock Osweiler was brought back after, you know, the Houston debacle and then Cleveland, and then we bring Brock back, and then he's put in the competition, and he was given a few shots, and I think he played pretty well. That was an example of a quarterback that they wanted, and they moved on. They traded, or they ended up letting him go to free agency. They wanted him. We know that whole story. He goes to Houston. Then they get him back, and I still feel like he had some decent quarterback years in him. So, that's one of them. I feel like they didn't necessarily give up on him first, but they didn't believe in him enough to sign him, and then I think they gave up on him too fast. Would Brock still be in the league today? Maybe. But I want to see this thing really play it out. I want there to be no doubt. I mean, what are your expectations of this team? And some of you fans out there, and I like how you clarified it yesterday, Colfax, you don't really believe that Rodgers is going to be here. There are fans out there that feel like if the Broncos don't get Rodgers, they failed. That this was already a foregone conclusion that Rodgers was coming to Denver, and that if they don't get him, George Payton and this Broncos brass somehow failed. There's no guarantee that he's coming, folks. The Packers are still adamant. Here we are on the 21st day of July, and the Packers are still very adamant that they are not going to trade Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, you're looking at a long shot. I know there was a report by some local Denver guys that said, hey, they know for a fact that Rodgers and the Broncos and the Packers are talking about a deal or close to a deal. I don't see it happening. I will be absolutely shocked, and Hooligans will, you know, get after me if that happens, and that's fine. I'll be excited for the ride, but I just don't see it. The price is too much. So I'm on this Drew Lock thing where I just want to see it play out. Now, I know that's discounting Teddy Bridgewater, but I've seen that. I know what we got there. He's guaranteed he's got a year deal. He's not the franchise quarterback. He's been in the league a while now. He's decent. He's a journeyman quarterback that can serve as a wonderful backup and then can start a few games and put together some decent stuff for you. But he's not a guy you're going to build around. He's not an A-plus quarterback. He's not an A quarterback. He's not a B-plus quarterback. He's an average quarterback. Right now, so is Drew. But the difference between Teddy and Drew is that Drew Lock's going into his second full year in the NFL. His rookie year, he only played 4 games. And from that sample, he was great. What we saw last year was awful. Dixon says, there are plenty of non-Bronco fans who would also like to see Denver stay on the Lock train. Listen, I get it, but it's between Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. Did they fail not picking up Justin Fields? Maybe, maybe not. We're going to find out. My gut is going to tell me that Justin Fields turns out to be a pretty good quarterback if he can get over the Chicago Bears hump, because they haven't had a great history of quarterbacks either. So that's my only fear with him. If he were at a team that could do, if he were at a Green Bay, then maybe they could do something with him. So I am concerned about the Chicago thing. I just want to know, because we were, this time last year, Colfax, we were all in seventh heaven, weren't we? Just a year ago, it was Drew Lock time. We got our quarterback. Can he live up? Oh, it was only 5 games. But yeah, those 5 games were pretty damn good. Can he follow that up with a full year of solid football? And he didn't. He didn't. He had moments where it was not terrible, but he wasn't good. And a lot of it was mental. He missed guys underneath going for the home run shots. So we'll see how much that's changed. I'm excited to see it. And I'm not being contrarian just for the sake of doing it, because everyone's going on the Rodgers train. I flat out took some time, skipped some rocks, listened to some Celine Dion, Alanis Morissette, busted into that, and I said, you know what? He's only had a year. He's not had any stability. Give him some stability, and maybe we'll see a change. 48 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. On the other side, don't forget, we have the block party. KFK's block party starting tonight at 5 o'clock. The Good Afternoon Guy, Brian Gary, starting at 3 to 5 every single weekday from now on here on 1310 KFK. They got the block party starting at 5 o'clock. Great programs. The Nerd Show, Nick Snacks, Brew Talk, Fat Guys at the Movies. Excellent night. Preps Midweek, of course. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us here. Do want to thank one of our great sponsors of the program, and that's Highland Park Lanes. They got parties and events and, of course, bowling. We got a cool thing coming up with them and Weld Food Bank later this fall, so keep your ears tuned to this station as we talk about that. It's going to be a great opportunity, great fun time. Highland Park Lanes, parties, events, and bowling. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Again, 970-478-1301. Yeah, so it was Brock Osweiler. That was, okay, I just blanked out for a minute. But it was the Simeon, Paxton Lynch, and Brock Osweiler deal, right? Brought him in. And he ended up winning the job for 1 week.
I think he actually started 3 weeks.
Did he start 3 weeks?
Yep.
And he was okay.
Yeah.
Give him more time. But didn't work out. So I want to see Drew get more time. I'm there. I have decided that's where I sit on this thing. I've been dancing around it for a while, but that's where I am. Texter Brady Locke was lucky there wasn't a guy like Teddy in the quarterback room last year. Or he wouldn't have been given that long of a leash or hall pass as he got last year. And he dodged a bullet with Fields not being drafted for one. He may have got beat straight out. If not, that leash would have been super short with Fields on the clipboard. I don't even know if Fields is going to start for Chicago. Sounds like it could be Dalton. Yeah, I mean, you're right. He was lucky. He could have got benched last year. But we always say competition sometimes breeds excellence. Sometimes it makes the best of the situation. Maybe Drew Locke crumbles before competition, and he's not even going to get a real – He doesn't even have a real shot because he couldn't beat Teddy, and then boom, he's the backup, and that probably means the end of times for Denver and Drew Locke and their union. So, yeah, I mean, I'm very curious to see if Teddy can beat him out, if Drew rises to the occasion, and I think if he rises to the occasion, he can say, I beat out a pretty decent quarterback. Now, yeah, if you bring in Justin Fields, I kind of thought if the Broncos drafted Justin Fields, one of those guys would be gone, and it wouldn't be Teddy, because you just brought him in. So you wouldn't really mess with Drew Locke anymore. And some people think, oh, well, they thought they had something with Rodgers, so that's why they didn't take Fields. That is a silly risk. That is a silly risk unless you had something in writing. And I don't think that that's the case at all. That would have leaked by now. So I don't think that was the case. I think that there was a part of this management team, and I think George Payton wants to see what he really has in Drew Locke, more so. Would they take Aaron Rodgers? Maybe, depending on that price. But if you didn't take Justin Fields because you thought you were getting Aaron Rodgers, that's your first, one of your biggest decisions as general manager? That's a heck of a risk, and you better hope and pray that it pays off. So I don't think that was the plan. But I've been wrong once or twice before. That's going to do it for us. We got Pick Central coming up. We got the Good Afternoon Guy, Brian Gary, and then the block party starting at 5 o'clock. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.